Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for investors and business owners looking to save on taxes and build long-term wealth with Toby Mathis, an attorney, author, business owner, and a featured instructor at Anderson's Tax and Asset Protection event held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Hey guys, this is Toby Mathis with the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, and today we're joined by Heather Connor, and this is going to be really fun. Not only is she involved in real estate, but she's involved in a very specific type of real estate that not everybody understands, and that is kind of the short-term rental market and the vacation real estate market. Granted, she has a very diverse background in real estate, but this is kind of fantastic to have somebody. So welcome, Heather.
Toby, thanks for having me.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up first off, and how you got into real estate.
Yeah, absolutely. So I currently live in Crested Butte, Colorado, which is a phenomenal skiing place. Grew up in Washington State, and my whole family, we grew up skiing in what's called Snoqualmie Pass. It's kind of four mountains in one. And huge ski bum family. My dad had a ski school there for 25 years. My brother was in ski racing. I was in ski racing. We both went into coaching. And then when I moved to Crested Butte, I still loved the skiing aspect, but at some point realized that I was going to have a real job here. So, and enter my background as far as management real estate.
Yeah. So you basically, besides just regular real estate, you focus very specifically. You have a bunch of rental properties or something like that in Crested Butte, or tell us what you do.
Sure. So the history of it is that I actually, when I first moved to Crested Butte, I started off in the service industry, just like most folks here. And that's not really a sustainable type of job for living here in the future. You know, living in a resort community comes with some expenses. And so during that time frame, I was starting to invest in property. I just purchased my first two rental units. That was back in 2005. And it was also bartending. So I was bartending, trying to live off of my paychecks, which are very low here in the Colorado area, and then save my tips and save up a down payment. So I purchased my two rentals, and then I had to learn how to manage them. And landlord-tenant law does not matter whether you're new or seasoned, it still applies to you.
Yep.
And there's a lot to be aware of to make sure that you're following the rules. So that is about the time frame that I thought, well, if I have to know all this anyways, I might as well maybe just pick up a few more properties to manage.
Very cool. Do you manage which properties now?
We do. So we have two businesses. We have Watchdog Property Management, and that is, it's gone through a couple of phases as far as the services we offer. And we've really zoned in on what our specialty area is. And that's been helped through my coach. I have coaching out in the LA area, Dan Sullivan, strategic coach. And I kind of went in like, gosh, we're kind of doing everything and it's a little bit of a mess and I'm really tired all the time. Like, we need to fix this. So through their program, we really zoned in on the areas that where I could bring the most value to our clients and the part of the business that I loved. So for me, that's vacation rentals.
Mm-hmm.
I love that aspect. We have been performing those services since 2005 with Watchdog. And there's been a lot of changes in the industry since when we first started. A lot of changes, not only in legislation, but also in the type of folks that actually utilize rentals now.
Yeah. What are the, you know, yeah, kind of get into that. That's more interesting. Who's utilizing these rentals now? Because I always looked at it. It was like, unless you knew somebody, I probably wouldn't have ever done it. Now you have so many things online that you're able to go in there and grab stuff from the Airbnbs to the VRBOs. What have you seen is the, what's the sweet spot right now?
Yeah. So what's been interesting is that back in the day in 2005, there were not very many people vacation renting at all. The town wasn't really aware of it. There weren't any rules or regulations around it. There were licensing and folks could just go on to sites and advertise. Back then, I have to remember that I think a lot of folks forget that company Airbnb, it's actually somewhat of a newer idea. It's just caught on like wildfire. Those guys in San Francisco, you know, I want to say they're only about 11-ish years old, if that sounds crazy, considering how popular it is these days. Yeah. So back in the day, 2005, you know, folks weren't really that savvy on what it was. So it's kind of that adventurous type of personality that would say, yeah, I'd rather stay in a home and let's just see what this is like. And there weren't any rhyme reason. There wasn't much as far as safety regulations, as far as the rental checklist. And back then, the clientele, when they booked, they almost always showed up. We never had cancellations. And two, the type of person that came to Crested Butte, they were very relaxed, is the good way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
They really didn't care much about the accommodation itself. They just wanted it to have heat, the windows, if it was summer, have a bed technically. And they really just came here to go hiking, biking, skiing. As Crested Butte has changed over the years, and as vacation rentals have gained steam in popularity, not only are there more rentals that are being ran more professionally.
So give us the progression, because like I've dealt with vacation rental, and like you really couldn't drag me back into it unless I decided that was going to be my thing. So how did it end up being your thing? Like you had to zone in on this thing, right?
I did. I zoned in. And at the time, you know, I went through a lot of different phases of, you know, who I'm going to be when I grow up. And I'm still, even today, still kind of moving through those phases of what's next. So Watchdog was a really big jumping point. It was my first real business. There were a lot of learning curves there, and it went through a lot of metamorphosis. The vacation rental portion, it was really fun back then. People just would show up. They were really easygoing.
Is that different now? So you said they were much more relaxed and they always showed up. And I'm going to contrast that. And I'm going to interpret that that means that under Airbnb, sometimes they don't show up and sometimes they're a little more high maintenance.
Yeah. So we've seen a lot of changes in our industry here. One is that the type of person that will rent through Airbnb, it's pretty mainstream now. So the idea of renting a house or a condo instead of a hotel, nobody really blinks an eye. So number one, as far as the type of person that will rent, it's really opened up to include all demographics and all types of income styles. You know, there's luxury properties, there's affordable, everything in between. Another thing that's happened is that what folks are looking for is that little cutesy, the owner just left for the weekend, all their clothes are in the closet, and you can just crash there for $50 a night. Folks aren't really looking for that here. Our type of clientele has really become a little bit more particular about the finishes. So what I mean by that is, as Crested Butte has gained in popularity, and we were just purchased by Vail last year, so that also put us more on the radar because now we're part of the Epic Pass.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing more folks come here that didn't visit Crested Butte traditionally prior.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, their requirements for an accommodation are pretty top of the line. So they're looking for absolutely something that is a private home, but it is managed professionally and it's handled professionally.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So this gets into some interesting things then. You know, what would bring most value to listeners is probably saying, hey, if I'm already in this space or if I'm thinking of going into this space, what should I be aware of? Like, what are the do's and don'ts? You know, when we could start with, hey, I already have I went on vacation somewhere. Maybe I went skiing in Crested Butte.
Right.
And I got excited and I picked up a property. I imagine that happens sometimes. And somebody says, boy, I just love it. So I'm going to pick up a condo. I'm going to pick up a house and I'll rent it for part of the year. And then I'll come up there and I'll use it a month of the year. And basically it's paying for that. What would you say to somebody who's considering doing that?
That's a great question. So there's two aspects of that. One is the real estate side. And the second is the management portion, the actual carrying out of activities. First part that I would say is make sure that when you identify the property, that you have the right data. So you have someone that either has data on the type of property you're going to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
If that particular realtor doesn't have a background in management, and if they don't have the correct numbers and accurate data, then make sure that they reach out and get it from somebody that are realtors and you don't have a background in management. Don't wing it. Don't guess, because you know this is a investment that your client's trusting you with. So part one is to make sure that you identify a property that works for your lifestyle goals that you're looking for, if it's going to be an actual vacation home. And then a lot of folks actually combo a vacation home with an investment property out here. That's a very common thing that we see.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a couple of questions you're going to have as far as, is this the right property for me when I come out and I want to stay here? And then two, will it meet whatever my income or investment goals are with this property? So as you know, there's two different ways. One could be how much income it brings in to offset expenses, or the other could be also, or in combination with that, and that's how much does it appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important that you have someone that has that proper data.
Are you looking to lower your taxes, protect your assets, and grow your wealth? Are you a real estate investor, stock trader, or business owner? If you answered yes, Anderson Advisors Tax and Asset Protection Workshop is for you. Let hosts Clint Coons, Toby Mathis, and Michael Bowman teach you how to protect and keep more of what you earn. Our workshops are held monthly throughout the country and via live stream. Two in-person tickets to the workshop are only $99. To learn more about the dates and locations, visit AndersonAP.com and register today.
How is Crested Butte done? Like, has it been going up nicely on the appreciation side, or is it really more of a cash flow thing?
Traditionally, Crested Butte has really been up and down. We're a resort community, and we always tend to follow suit any major city. So Denver's our closest major city. And what that means is that because we're a resort community, we tend to follow trends in lag time based on our closest city. However, then we also have our unique climate and our unique factors that affect us. So we're like this little micro market. And then our micro market has micro markets beyond that. Because Crested Butte as a whole then also has Mount Crested Butte, Town of Crested Butte, and then we move into the rural areas all the way down to Gunnison. And they are all performing differently. So I would say that, for example, once Vail announced the purchase and actually purchased Crested Butte Mountain Resort, since 2018 to current day, 2019, condos up on the mountain have increased. Like, they've been jumping up 20% and then 40%.
Wow.
In valuation. It's been pretty phenomenal. We have started to see that all across the board values are increasing. That is pretty typical across the U.S. right now. Some markets are a little bit more dramatic in their increase than others, but we definitely have micro areas that are increasing at a more rapid rate. And that would be Mount Crested Butte condos is probably our biggest hotspot right now for what's selling.
Mm-hmm. How about what should somebody expect as far as cash flow if they're getting a vacation property? Well, we can use Crested Butte, but just as a kind of as a rule of thumb, or if you don't have one, if you just want to focus on Crested Butte, that's fine too. I'm just kind of curious as to what somebody should expect. They buy a $200,000 condo or something along those lines. What should they expect to get out of it?
So what people could anticipate as far as cash flow back when we first started versus now, it's really different. Back in 2005, folks could cover their mortgage by vacation renting. Because you have to remember, when you're vacation renting, you're taking on all the expenses, the day-to-day expenses, as well as capital improvements, just to kind of start your little rental business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for folks now, when you look at the potential capital improvements, as well as the day-to-day expenses that happen, your utilities, HOA dues, if applicable, replacing furnishings, utilities, etc., I find that most folks do not cash flow, regardless of how great of a realtor you have. That now, really, what you're looking is to offset expenses. So I would say that you're hitting right on target, that you could probably offset about half of your total expenses.
Oh, wow. So you're going to have a little bit of negative there. Right? So basically, hey, if you're going to get a vacation rental, don't expect to make it a big cash pile. Because you really want to go there and you're going to use it and you're trying to offset some of your expenses?
Pretty close, yeah. I mean, there's some folks that are still able to kind of squeak that line, but it does take a lot of effort, and it takes somebody that probably is ready to take on some of the work themselves. We have an owner that just closed on a house, purchased it for $800,000, probably putting about maybe $200,000 in improvements on the property. And I would reckon that, you know, they'll pull in right around $100,000, and that's prior to any of their utilities.
Mm-hmm.
As well, that management expenses, if you don't live next to your rental, vacation rental managers are going to be anywhere from 15 to 35, 40%.
Mm-hmm. Wow. 15 to 30. Wow. That's actually pretty, well, again, you're turning over. Like, what's the typical rent there? Like, period. Is it 3 days, 4 days, 5 days? What's the typical period of time somebody's going to be there?
Depends. In the summer, folks will say anywhere from 3 days to renting a property for the entire summer. So 90 days, 60 to 90 days. The folks that rent 30 to 60 days, they will pay the premium rate. So they'll pay the $20,000 each month to have that house for those prime periods. In the winter, they tend to be shorter stays, and they tend to be more around 3 to 7 days.
And is it mostly the skiing crowd during the winter, and then you have the biking crowd during the summer, hiking, biking?
Exactly. So we have this year we're seeing more of that Epic Pass folks coming. Mm-hmm. Visiting. And then we're also seeing a lot more Front Rangers. So folks from the Denver Boulder area, And that happened actually when the economy crashed. We started to see more local Coloradans coming to visit Crested Butte because they couldn't afford to fly to their traditional vacation spots. Mm-hmm. So the recession is actually when we had folks coming and when the local Colorado community really started to visit Crested Butte.
Okay. So let's say that you're interested in getting into vacation rentals. So this is what you do for a living, right? You sit there and you manage vacation properties. If somebody is walking in as on the investment side and they're not going to manage their own property, but they could be buying a property anywhere that would be kind of a vacation destination. What are the rules of thumbs that you would tell them to make sure that they're maximizing their return? You know, everything from, hey, make sure that your property looks halfway decent, so you're not just taking pretty snapshots of of the interior. Like what are the rules of thumb that you would use that you would tell somebody, hey, this is what you need to do it right?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's definitely a lot that is in your own, that's in your own court as far as what you can do to maximize your success. I would say that the top six things that I would recommend so that you're actually maximizing your potential income on your rental. Mm-hmm. One, take time to properly stage your property with your furnishings.
Mm-hmm.
I see folks that will purchase a place that came furnished and that furnishing may be outdated. And they're like, you know what, just for the season, we're just going to keep it. And they don't realize how much that older furniture, that outdated furniture, or the poor layout of what's currently in place, it actually really affects their bottom line, even for that one season.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that you take time to furnish and that your property shows properly. And then in combination with that, number two, is once you take that effort, then make sure you get professional photographs. You know, they say that over 80% of folks are visual, and your property is most likely going to be booked online purely from the photographs.
Mm-hmm.
So once you take the time to make it visually appealing, make sure that you hire a professional to make sure that it actually shows its best online and captures the widest audience.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being said as well, just friendly reminder that the majority of folks that book these are females. Actually, they're the ones that are online, and you want to make this appealing to, they look at it and they say, this is what I say.
How do you know that the majority is women? Like, is that just what you found from yours? Cause that is actually a really interesting fact if that's the case. Mostly.
Yeah. What you find is if you look at who the majority of, when you look at, I don't have the data in front of me, but when you look at who typically is the highest, which gender shops the most, it's the women who buy the most men's clothing. And it's usually the wife or the girlfriend that buys the clothing for the man. For vacations, even though Crested Butte is, I would say folks kind of see it as a male dominated type of ski resort, because a lot of folks that come here is like guy ski vacations, you know, mountain men that come out here. And even if that's the case, a lot of times their wives are still on there helping them book the property.
Mm-hmm.
And they will first go off of places that they feel like that look visually appealing.
Mm-hmm. I never even thought about that. That actually makes a lot of sense. So keep going on. Sorry about that.
And that actually just goes right into the next point, is think about what's important to your renters. So in Crested Butte, we are a huge dog community, outdoor community. So folks that love to come out here and hike and ski, they want to be able to bring their pet. So if your HOA allows it, or if, you know, their property allows it, and as long as you don't have any allergies, if you can make it pet friendly, that's going to be a huge bonus for you. And there's little weird things too. For example, for us, a king bed will make or break your rental. It's the strangest thing. But if there are two identical units, and one has a king bed and one has a queen bed, the king bed will, at the end of the year, severely outperform the property of the queen bed. So
maybe it's just making sure that you get a king bed in there. It's interesting. The little things make a huge difference. I learned that with ours. We have a couple of vacation rentals where you get them not because you're planning on renting them out all the time, but then you end up doing it, then you realize that you better make sure you know how to do it right. And it is. It's like the littlest things, and it'll make all the difference. It'll be 20 or 30% difference in bookings.
Absolutely. And when you look at 20 or 30%, that's a lot of money.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, leaving on the table. Yeah. I would say the next thing to keep in mind, number four, is know your local laws and stay up updated. They are constantly evolving. So know your local laws.
Is that what a property manager does, though? Like, is that what you should be expecting them to do, or is that something you need to do?
I would say both. Ideally, in a perfect world, you have vetted your property manager and they are professional. This is what they do for a living full time. And they genuinely do stay on top of laws and what, you know, they stay on top of the statistics of what's renting, what's not, what's the feedback they've been receiving. Now, that actually lends itself to a really interesting point, because there are different types of property managers out there and they're not all created equal.
Mm-hmm.
You have folks that I mentally kind of think of them in, I'm getting off topic here, but I mentally categorize them in three different categories. Mm-hmm. One is that person that they work from home, they work off their cell phone, they drive their vehicle, you know, it's just them, maybe them and their wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are who you get, and they tend to be the most affordable because they have the lowest overhead. They may or may not be insured. And most likely they are kind of doing the day-to-day and running this as an at-home business, but they're not actually going to seminars, staying educated, reading the laws at night, making sure that you're protected. They're just kind of the neighbor or friend that's helping you out almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then and those folks, I would say that don't depend on them to stay updated. They're probably not going to.
No, I would agree 100%. That's like having your Uncle Ned do it. You know, you're giving Uncle Ned a little bit of money, but you're getting a discount, but it's your Uncle Ned.
Right, right. So, and then on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, you have larger companies. For us, that's like the resort. There's a couple other companies where they rent out the majority of an entire complex. And those are the ones where you'll see that there is a photo of one property that is meant to represent multiple. And they'll just rent the property that is available. And it may or may not look the same, but it's similar and it's in the same complex. And those companies, you know, they tend to stay really on top of legislation, laws. They have individuals that are working in each specific area of their expertise. And they can be great. And sometimes for some folks, they feel like they can get lost and feel a little anonymous.
You're in a pool in that one, right? You know, hey, there's 20 properties, and how do you make sure yours is the one that gets picked? I already know what they're doing. They're going to say the one that makes them the most money with the least amount of aggravation. So if you're, for whatever reason, your unit has a problem dishwasher or whatever, they're going to quit renting yours just because they don't want to deal with the problem dishwasher.
That's a good point. And it might take them a week or two to fix that simple thing.
Oh, yeah.
What's great about the larger companies is that they're going to have most likely more ad spend dollars for advertising. They're probably going to get more traffic to their website, their office. They're going to have more potential to rent your property. The problem is that pretend that you went out of your way, Toby, and you and your wife just really made your place beautiful. And that the neighboring unit is just kind of pretty standard and all original.
You're not getting the benefit of it. Yeah.
You're not seeing that increase in the value that you put in your own property.
Attention all real estate investors, business owners, stock traders, and anyone looking to get out of the rat race for good. We all know time is money, but did you know there's a wealth of resources on how to make more money, keep more money, and protect what you've earned, all for free online? Anderson Business Advisors YouTube channel offers free resources on asset protection and tax reduction from lawyers and CPAs designed to help you keep more money in your pocket. To learn how to limit your liability, protect what you've earned, and minimize your tax burden all for free, subscribe to Anderson Business Advisors on YouTube today.
So we see this in Vegas. You know, you have the MGM has its properties, you know, people that buy down there. The best thing is to be hands off.
Yeah. But
it's not your unit anymore. That's not the one you should be staying at.
Like, correct.
Yep.
And on top of it, if you read your management contract with a lot of those companies, you'll see that there is a disclosure in there that says that they will do their best to equally divide rentals between all units.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, for those of us that really like to excel in whatever field we're in, you know, it's kind of like how I felt about pooling tips when I was bartending. You know, I think that whoever really provides the best service and the best product, you should be rewarded for that. So you won't see that.
Okay. And then there's a middle ground, I take it?
And then there's the middle ground, and that is really varied in size of companies and services they offer. And it's really varied in the percentage that they take. You will see anywhere from probably, I'd say, 20% to 35% is the range there.
Mm-hmm.
Higher end, we're at the 35% for our companies, or for properties. And that's because we chose to have a system that is very systematic, streamlined, and we're only taking on certain properties. And then in fact, we actually just recently did a big clearing. Anything that was not the right property and not the right owner, then that's no longer a part of our inventory.
Hit the bricks.
Yeah.
They may be better off to be in a big pool.
Yeah. And what's funny about, so we would be considered kind of in that middle ground. And because that middle ground can be so varied as far as the number of properties, how they, you know, handle things. Some offer linen, some don't. Some will pay for advertising, some don't. Some charge you for toilet paper, and you see that on your statement every day, some don't. That is really across the board. So that would be really important for you to have a clear conversation about what they do or do not offer,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how they work with you.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I could see it. So if you're in the middle ground, it's kind of like this. In my field, I'm an attorney by trade. You're going to take on cases and you're getting paid a contingency. You want a case you can actually collect on.
Right.
In real estate, I imagine that be rewarded for bringing people into great units. So if somebody wanted to spend very little on their unit, be bare bones, maybe dump it into a pool. If you really take care of your property and it's nice accommodations and you want to be rewarded for that, maybe you need to be in the middle ground. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah. And you know, you actually bring up a point because you say I'm an attorney by trade. And what's funny is that I feel like when I mentioned the right property, that really is easy for folks to understand. They're like, oh, okay, you want a property that they take time to furnish it.
Mm-hmm.
Suggestions. They keep it nice, updated. They make the improvements you ask for. It's in the right location. It's easy to rent, right?
Yep.
It's minimal effort to rent it because people are like, oh, that's a great location. That's a great property. Mm-hmm. What I think is really interesting is that as far as the right owner, what I've noticed that has worked for us is working with somebody, I would believe, I've never worked with you, but I believe somebody probably like you. We work really well with folks that are professionals and that are experts in their own trade. The reason is that what we find out is they're busy. They know where they add value, and that is where they have excellent and unique ability in that skill. And they're not looking to get in your lane. They say, I chose you for a reason. I'm going to hand this over to you, and I just want you to tell me what you need from me. And from there, you know, you're my expert. It's the folks that, you know, that they cross that lane and they try to jump back and forth that really actually ends up hurting them in the end.
Yeah. Now, I'm a value person. I always tell people you could be focused on the money that you're spending or the value that they're bringing. So like if you say a higher percentage, that's going to turn off people that are focused on the money, you know, so instead of the value, like I'd rather pay somebody 35% of a much higher number than 20% to something that's not performing. And they'll be so focused in on, well, this is what I pay. Well, it's like you should actually look and say, what percentage of your revenue total and what is that revenue target? So if I'm bringing in zero and I'm paying 10% because I got a bare bones manager for somehow, I still have zero. It doesn't really matter. They're not doing anything for you. They're not getting any revenue versus I'd rather pay 50% to somebody who's keeping my unit top dollar paid out. It's just that percentage isn't the issue. It's the what's the revenue, the bottom line revenue number. You had a couple more that we wanted to go through on your six things. I think that you'd gone through four, so let's jump on the fifth.
Absolutely. The fifth one's really simple. Just be quick to respond. We live in an on-demand society. Folks do not like to be kept waiting. And if you wait too long, they found somebody else. They've already accepted the reservation. Again, if you have a property manager, then not a big deal. You have somebody to take care of that for you.
Is the property manager able to agree or do they ever have to get approval from the tenants? Do you deal with any of that nonsense?
Oh, you mean approval from the owners?
Yeah.
Yes. So that's where we talked about who's the ideal client. The ideal client is a professional that hands it over and says, I'm giving you the freedom.
You do it.
The person that says, I want to have authorization over every decision, which we've had in the past, and we do not have them anymore. Those are the folks that actually miss out on bookings because by the time that you ask them their permission and then get back to the person, they've already moved on.
Yep. I want to know if I'm booking something that I have it. I don't want to be, hey, I hope I can get it. Please let me know. I kind of want to just be able to say, here's the dates. Can I have this unit? Great. Let's go.
Right.
I couldn't imagine waiting 2 or 3 days to hear back from somebody. Even a few hours is annoying.
It is. I know. See, you just said a few hours, and that is the society we live in. We want to do something. We want what we want, and we want to move on.
Yep.
Yeah.
I always look at it like a checklist. Hey, this is where we're going to go. This is the unit. Great. Check.
Yep.
Now I can move to something else.
But I love that you bring that up, because I think that a lot of owners that really have that tight hold on some of those decisions, they don't realize how much they're hurting their bottom line. So, and then number six, I would say, is that in general, when you just look at your rental holistically, think about the lifestyle. So for us, we're in Crested Butte, and folks that come here, you know, they come from Texas, they come from Austin, Oklahoma. They come here in the summer because it's really hot where they are. But when they come here, they're having a little escape from their life, and they want to be a part of our community. They want to be part of the mountains. They want to ride their townies around, and you know, they want to get away from what's happening back home, and they want to be a part of our lifestyle. So when you put your vacation rental together, think about what they want, and that's how you attract them.
That's perfect. That actually makes sense. So now I want to go to Crested Butte.
I want you to come to Crested Butte.
So how does somebody find out more about what you do and Crested Butte? They want to go up into the mountains a little bit. So we could hit a few things. Like, how far out of Denver? Like, are you closest to Denver?
We are. We have a couple airports, depending on your choices. The closest airport is Gunnison, 30 minutes away. If you have a private plane, you have to buy land to actually fly into it. But we do have a private airport here in Buckhorn Ranch. And then the most commonly used airport is probably Denver. And that's right around a 4 to 4.5 hour drive into Crested Butte.
Oh, wow. So yeah. Fly into Gunnison is what you're saying.
Yes. Fly into Gunnison.
Yeah, awesome. And how do they find out more about you?
Sure. So if you're looking to find out more about vacation rentals here, you can visit our website, which is watchdogcb.com. That stands for Crested Butte. And then for real estate and how to purchase a vacation rental property here in Crested Butte, that is heatherconnor.com. And that Heather Connor, CONNOR.com.
Very cool. And we'll post those up on this. It's on our website as well. Yeah, no, I really appreciate you spending time with us. When I first talked to you, and I was like, wow, you're really into the vacation rental stuff. And you seem pretty, very zeroed in on it. And you made it very simple and easy to understand. I said, that would be something that a lot of people should hear, just because there's a lot of folks that get out there. They hear about the Airbnb, the VRBO, and how great it is. And they're on vacation somewhere. So they buy something.
Right.
And they start looking, and they have no idea what they're getting into. This is not your traditional rent it and forget it type thing. This is going to be like, this is a full-time job for somebody to really manage these things. I can speak from experience, because I've had vacation rentals. My partner and I, Clint, he was dealing with all the little maintenance stuff, and he kept saying, this is just annoying. I'm just like, if I have to deal with another person who has a remote control and it's the remote for the fan and they're trying to turn on the TV with it, he goes, I'm going to go crazy. So I was like, this is why you use a manager for it. I just thought it'd be easy for them to understand.
That's so funny. And you start labeling everything. You're like, this is the fan remote. This is the door. This is
this is how you turn on the dishwasher. You ever used a dishwasher? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, I'm like, he experienced that pain. Yes. We do it all the time. We have a couple of condos here and there, and some of them we just let our friends use, and it's still you're always dealing with that little stuff, and you always have to ask yourself, is it worth it? Do you really want to spend time dealing with like everything from a house cleaner, making sure that it's clean? You're not there. Unless you put a camera in it, maybe that would freak people out. But you'd have to have somebody that you know that if you say, hey, it needs to be cleaned on this date, that it's actually cleaned on this date. And we've done it remotely, and it is a mess sometimes, where you're just like, I don't have eyeballs there. So it really does make a huge difference. And then it's your unit. A lot of your people, do they actually come and spend time in their own units?
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah. A good majority of folks, this is their vacation home. Yep. And actually, we have a lot of folks that if it weren't for the fact that they could rent the property when they weren't there, a lot of them wouldn't be able to afford all of those expenses, actually wouldn't be able to afford a vacation home. So this is a good way for folks to have an investment in a location that they love to visit, and they can actually afford to have it in that area. Whereas in years past, maybe it would have taken them another 10, 20 years to be able to actually afford all those payments.
And that is perfect. I've seen that work with boats and yachts. Like, I never thought in a million years that somebody could do that stuff, but they do. And I'm always shocked at it. And then I realize it's way more important that you don't destroy your unit by bringing in the wrong people. And that's where it really comes in. Like you said, that you want certain type of manager or a certain type of owner, and you probably are just as selective on tenants too, is I don't want to have somebody that's going to go in there and trash my place because it's my place. This is where I actually spend my time, and it's my belongings. It's my furniture. You know, it's not, yes, other people are using it, but it's a lot different than if it's a rental where you're never going to go there.
Right. And you know, that brings up a good point. And I know that we won't have time to jump into this today, but if you want, I can send you a link to a video and just talks about, you know, a couple ways for you to protect your investment and to protect yourself.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm all about, we're all about protecting, making sure that you don't, there's different insurance for it. There's different, I mean, you're preaching to the choir when you start talking that realm. And we would love that that link. We can always share it with the people too that are listening to this.
Absolutely. And folks like you guys, what you share with and educate everybody on as far as asset protection, It really falls in line with one of our main line items as far as protecting yourself, either through a corporation and anonymity or both, which is what you guys speak to all day long. Mm-hmm. And I can't say enough how much most folks skip that step.
Mm-hmm.
And then until it's too late, they just get excited and they pick cute throw pillows and they get really into it. But they forget that there's a very real legal side here where there's a lot of potential liability. And it's important that they speak to somebody like you guys and make sure that they are protected on that backside.
Appreciate it. That's what we do. So thank you for coming in and talking about what you do. And that's, I think it'll be of great value for someone who's thinking about vacation rentals, actually really digest and think about what Heather was talking about, because it makes such a huge difference. It is a different animal than your typical investment property. And it could be a great thing if you're walking in with realistic expectations, or it could be a really horrific thing if you're caught unawares and you realize that it's kind of like buying a boat. Best days when you buy it and sell it, right? No, you actually, if you're using it, fantastic. This thing is really great. And if you're treating it as your unit, if you're doing rentals, it's a little bit of a different animal. Just know that they're very different animals. Heather, I just want to say thank you very much for joining us. Loved hearing from your fan club there too. I love the pets and a couple of rescue dogs, which is telling us something about you there. That's awesome. You get a big check on that one. And I really appreciate you joining us.
All right. Thanks, Toby.
All right.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.